most people, they just say, well, I need a job. I need to make some money. And that's like, as far as the thinking goes, they don't look at like, how can I do something that actually fulfills me? Or how can I do something that is more aligned with who I am as a person? Or how can I operate in my skills? So if you start with that as a foundation, it changes your thinking instead of just like, oh, I need to get some money. I need to get a job. And especially as like former athletes, right? Like you just want to, you're almost scrambling to find something because you go from being a part of your sport to like, now I'm just out in the real world. Like you said, you felt like you were thrown into the real world. It's like, where do I begin? So that automatically has you in a place of like anxiousness and trying to just dive into something instead of like stopping and thinking about what do I actually want to do and thinking bigger than the money. So if you can start with that, then the next thing you want to do is start looking at lifestyle. Like, it's not just about what you're doing, what's on your business card. What kind of lifestyle do you want? Like, it doesn't make sense for you to be in an office from 9 to 5 if you're the type of person who wants to work from home, right? It doesn't make sense for you to be working from home and doing a fully remote role if you know you need to be physically around people and not sitting on Zoom all day. And most people don't give that level of, like, that's a very basic thing, like remote or in person. But the more layers you begin to peel back of, what do I actually want this job to look like? What am I actually doing? What skills do I have that could apply to this type of work? That gives you a foundation to start building and creating, you know, the type of work that you want to do. And everyone has a certain thing that they are meant to do in this world. It can change and evolve over time, but you have to understand yourself first to even be able to understand what type of work you're meant to be doing. Otherwise, you'll just kind of be ending up places rather than choosing where you want to go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Stats to Access. Today, I got a special guest, my homie Taj Deshaun. He's another coach, but he's coaching athletes, and he's coaching many different people. But man, he is going to break it down for us to understand how to customize our life and career, and how do we find the work that we enjoy, right? We're trying to get into tech, so how do I make this happen? Find the roles, or in general, the companies maybe that I want to work for and enjoy. Taj, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Ernie. I'm honored to be here. You know, I've been watching you. I can't even remember how long it's been since we connected, but I remember I had heard of you before we actually connected, which is crazy. Like, I think I saw you on something with Gary Vee. I think I told you that whole story, but big time fan of what you do, big time fan of you as a person, and big time fan of the show. So honored to be a guest today. Appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate you, man. Let's get into your background. For the people that may not have run across your podcast yet, y'all got to go check them out. But like, just give us a little snapshot of what you're doing now and then a little bit of your background.
Yeah, played football at Stony Brook University. Like many athletes, you know, when you don't make it to the next level, or even just when you retire from your career, I was just lost. You know, I was like, felt down on myself because I didn't make it to the NFL. Down on myself because I didn't have the career I wanted. Came back home, didn't even know how to put a resume together, let alone, you know, had any idea of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So you already know it, Ernie.
Me too. That led to
just, yeah, you know, just was lost. And really, rather than trying to deal with it, I coped with it, I like to say. And, you know, and I was drinking a lot, smoking a lot, just anything to like numb myself because I didn't know how to articulate what I was going through and didn't know how to put the pieces together to come out of it. Long story short, eventually I did come out of it, started to build up a career for myself, started in sales, then went into career development, job development type stuff, recruiting type industry. And I really found a love for helping people find their way and put food on the table for their families, which eventually led me to leaving the corporate world, starting Thrive After Sports, and primarily focusing on former athletes, helping them transition, get clear on what they want to do, execute on that, and connect with other athletes like us out in the world who are doing great things. I look at myself as the person that I needed in my corner when I was going through that transition, and I have many different ways of doing that. The coaching, the books, the podcast, everything I do is dedicated to helping the younger version of me. And I know there are many, me and you, there are many of us out there who need that support.
That's so awesome. Yes, that is so, so awesome. I love the work that you do. Because like, you know, going through sports in college and then playing pro, there's a lot of kids that just don't know where to go. And, you know, I feel like back when I played, there was not really, it was just this handoff to the real world. And I was like, okay, let's go make some money overseas. Right. And, not know how to save it, not know how much it really wasn't nothing. and just, also that I should probably still be building some skills and still thinking about what my life could be from 21 to, I think I played till 28, 29, right? So I love the work that you're doing. And I already know you are helping so many people. So this is what I want to start off. Let's start off with something, some more about you. Just some questions here. Then we'll get back into to background. So thinking about last year, 2022, I'd like to know, what was your most challenging moment of adversity? And how did you get through that? How'd you overcome it?
This is perfect for what we're going to talk about today, because there was a moment where a partnership that I had been working on since right before the pandemic. So early 2020, I'd been working on this partnership. I won't throw all the details out there because it didn't work out. But the point is, this would have really taken me to the next level in terms of the amount of athletes I would have been able to impact and the exposure. Long story short, the deal fell through and business was a little slow at the time. And you know this, Ernie, as an entrepreneur, there's ups and downs in life. There's ups and downs in business. You have to do what you need to do to pivot to make ends meet. There was a point where, and I've had this at many times during my entrepreneurial journey, I was thinking to myself, this might be officially the time I need to hang it up. But I did what I needed to do and took some part-time jobs, took some side projects to make ends meet so I could get back on my feet with the business and get back in the fight. It was very challenging to the point, like I said, to the point where I was thinking about giving up Thrive After Sports completely. But I got through to the other side, as I've done many times before.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Like, thank you for sharing that. It's tough. Sometimes it's almost like, for me, I've been so, I right now, I pick up trash in my RV park for half off my rent. And there was, and I started this some months ago, because my IT job was not, it was new, I got the role, but it was not paying enough money. It was breaking me even. And I was like, I was humbled because I still needed more skills to get some more money, you know, for a different job. And so one of the things that I had to do this year, well, it's not last year, but this year too, is like, hey, let me ask if I can help around the RV park, which, and listen, I pick up trash and it's not that bad. It actually takes like 20 minutes, but I get half off my rent. I'm like, hey, I kind of get the better end of the deal here.
Definitely.
It's definitely like 20 minutes every day. I'm like, well, okay, I could do that, you know? So really, really cool. Thank you for sharing that. What was your celebration? What was your biggest celebration for yourself?
Ernie, before I answer that, let me just say this, because something like, I feel like we're about to have a real deep conversation based off of what you just shared about picking up trash or half off the rent, especially like, you definitely did get the better end of the deal. I want to say this because like, most people wouldn't share that. And I've always prided myself, and I know you and I talked about this early on when we first connected, I've always prided myself on like talking about what it's really like, not trying to like show the glitz and glamour of trying to, you know, build something or accomplish something. There are times in my life where, you know, I moved back in, I think it was 2018 when I went completely broke, and who's now my wife, my girlfriend at the time, picked up the rent and was paying rent for a couple of months in our apartment, to the point where we eventually moved out. I was like, I can't go on as a man with my, you know, girlfriend paying the rent. So we moved out, both moved back in with our families. So, and I was 27 at the time, moved back in with my folks, got a job where I was doing manual labor, you know, just wanted to do anything to keep the dream alive, but doing what I have to do so I can do what I want to do eventually. And that's why when you said like, look, I'm picking up trash right now to get half off my rent because this wasn't working out, but I'm still in pursuit. Like, you don't have to be, neither one of us are getting paid to do this podcast right now, but we're here because we're dedicated to the mission and we know the impact that it's going to have. So in case I haven't told you this, I appreciate your honesty. You know, even before I knew you and I saw some of the content you were putting out, I just appreciate like the realness of you being able to share things like that, because you don't see that. Everybody wants to act like it's all good. When you tell people that you're going through something or doing things that you don't want to do to get to where you want to get to, that lets other people know that it's okay to do that. And that's a smart thing to do that most people don't tell you. Like, it's not all or nothing. You can find the middle ground while you're building. So anyway, but you asked me about celebration. I'm sorry, I'm tripping. Oh,
yeah, you're good. Your best celebration last year, 2022.
Yeah. So once I came through the other side of that, you know, thinking about like throwing it all away completely, I took a part-time job to get back on my feet, and then I ended up actually getting married a month later. So the celebration was kind of like the marriage, because that was a big party. But then also, you know, we went on our honeymoon to Mexico, and that was like a huge, just, you know, it was towards the end of the year, or it was around this time actually last year. And so it was just a nice way to wrap up the year and be able to just kick my feet up on the beach in Mexico with a drink in my hand and just be like, man, it all worked out, you know, even through the dark times.
Yeah. It's like that, reward, you know, there, what I've learned in this process of pursuing, you know, your dream, or just always pursuing something better, you will hit those valleys. But like, when you're in that low point or something's very uncomfortable, you will get out of it. Like, the only way is to go up. Like, if you cut all the losses, like, not cut losses, but like, don't continue to dig yourself in the, you know, hole. You stop it there, you can go nowhere but up, right? And sometimes, sometimes it does take, it takes you to think outside the box and be okay with something that you really probably don't want to do, like pick up trash, like have to go DoorDash and do all these other things to stay on the path, right? To stay on the path to wherever you want to go. So for this year, let's fast forward a little bit, not fast forward, but we're here, 2023. What are you most thankful or grateful for this year already?
Two things. Personally, the biggest thing I'm grateful for is my son that I was telling you about, you know, before we started recording. Like, that has changed me. Like, he's not even here yet, and it's already changed me in more ways than I can count. My son, our firstborn, my son is due in December. So that's huge. On the business side, I launched the Thrive After Sports collaborative community, which to me, when I look at what's already happening in there and what the long-term potential is, that not just for me and my business, but when I look at some of the partnerships and people who are connecting in there, that is really, that's like the biggest thing for me right now, just because I look at that community as, that's going to be the future of what I'm really doing. I'm always going to coach. I'm always going to do podcasts and, you know, books and stuff like that. But I think really I'm focused on, how can I connect people like us, the people who have made it through the transition and are already active? How can we pull up the athletes coming up behind us? And I just don't see a better way to do that than to put everyone in one place and let them connect and make introductions. So that's probably my biggest thing this year.
Okay. Awesome. And then do you have, so is that a goal? That's what you're like grateful for. You've been building that already, right?
I actually officially, I've been thinking about it for a minute. I officially launched it in May. I had been like, oh, I want to get it perfect. You know how it is sometimes. We want things to be perfect. Instead of just be like, man, let me put this out there, get people involved and just start like running with it. So yeah, I officially launched it in May this year.
Okay. Congratulations. And I asked that because my next question was, what's your biggest goal that you're trying to accomplish this year? So, you know, top one or two goals that you're chasing right now.
I definitely say the community is the top goal, because what I've been doing, like I've hand selected people like yourself and invited them to the group. And then I think I pretty much have all the people that I want in there that I've hand selected. And now my next thing is to get it out to the public. But there needs to be a vetting process, right? Because I don't just want anybody and everybody off the street. Like, I don't want people in the group and, you know, people who, if they were vetted properly, then they, you know, you don't want people in there like messing up the vibe, is what I'm trying to say. So that's the biggest goal, is like having more great people join the group and really making that be an active community where more current athletes are being supported. So the way I'm doing that is trying to find more partnerships with people who are going to universities and speaking, and having them be the people who are helping bring people into this community, because it's beneficial for all of us, right? Like, if you're a speaker and you go to a university and speak, and not only the athletes, the current athletes are going into that group, but also like faculty, staff, administration, the people around the athletes are in that group as well, then that helps you as the person maintain those relationships. So that's the biggest goal, is making that community more solidified. Right now we got the foundation, it's just time to take flight.
Perfect. That's awesome. Yeah, let me know how I can help in any way. You know, we both in the same city, so I'm always down to help and give back to athletes as well. So I think the first thing I want to talk about and just kind of pick your brain on is, you know, what do you teach about how to find, you know, the work that somebody really likes doing or enjoys. How do we start that? I know it took me about 6 years after I retired, so I can't help them.
Right. Well, I mean, you found it. So I'll say this before I get into the advice. Like, it took me 5 years to start Thrive After Sports. I didn't just graduate and just start doing this. It took me 5 years of like getting closer and closer. I was making strides along the way, which eventually landed me here where I found my lane with this. And I've been running with it for the past 5 or 6 years. But, you know, I think the first thing is that most people don't look at job or, you know, a work or job as like something that can be combined with your lifestyle. Like we were talking before we hit record about customizing your lifestyle. That's something, you know, people who know me hear me say that time and time again. So most people, they just say, well, I need a job. I need to make some money. And that's like, as far as the thinking goes, they don't look at like, how can I do something that actually fulfills me? Or how can I do something that is more aligned with who I am as a person? Or how can I operate in my skills? So if you start with that as a foundation, it changes your thinking instead of just like, oh, I need to get some money. I need to get a job. And especially as like former athletes, right? Like you just want to, you're almost scrambling to find something because you go from being a part of your sport to like, now I'm just out in the real world. Like you said, you felt like you were thrown into the real world. It's like, where do I begin? So that automatically has you in a place of like anxiousness and trying to just dive into something instead of like stopping and thinking about what do I actually want to do and thinking bigger than the money. So if you can start with that, then the next thing you want to do is start looking at lifestyle. Like it's not just about what you're doing, what's on your business card, what kind of lifestyle do you want? Like it doesn't make sense for you to be in an office from 9 to 5 if you're the type of person who wants to work from home. Right. It doesn't make sense for you to be working from home and doing a fully remote role if you know you need to be physically around people and not sitting on Zoom all day. And most people don't give that level of like, that's a very basic thing, like remote or in person. But the more layers you begin to peel back of what do I actually want this job to look like? What am I actually doing? What skills do I have that could apply to this type of work? That gives you a foundation to start building and creating, you know, the type of work that you want to do. And everyone has a certain thing that they are meant to do in this world. It can change and evolve over time, but you have to understand yourself first to even be able to understand what type of work you're meant to be doing. Otherwise, you'll just kind of be ending up places rather than choosing where you want to go. We can go deeper into that, but those are some fundamentals that I like to start with. And that's what I'm coaching people on, you know, or even through my content, trying to share that message. Like, just really think about these things. Don't just dive into stuff. Like, think about where you're going and where you want to go, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I would love to dive in. Let's dive in deeper on understanding the lifestyle piece. So some of my questions are like, okay, so do you think about how much your lifestyle is going to cost? Like I kind of reverse engineers, like how do I want to live while I work, right? And then I'm like, how much money do I need to? Because I kind of found, I had a computer science degree in tech, and so I kind of forgot that I was a techie nerd. So that's why I'm kind of in back into tech now, because I do like it. But also it's like, now that I found the roles, I need to find the skills that pay what I want my lifestyle to be. So yeah, go deeper into how you frame it to people and what's been working for your athletes.
Yeah, so okay. So what you just said is so key. Like, the money that you're making is just one component of lifestyle. It's also a lifestyle is not just what you can afford in terms of how you're living, in terms of what your house looks like or your cars or like, you know, how much you can travel or what level you can travel. Lifestyle, it could be something as simple as like we were talking about earlier, whether you're working remotely or whether you are, you know, physically at an office or if you're going somewhere physically, what's that commute look like, right? Whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're a solopreneur, like I'm a solopreneur, right? Some people are meant to be, some people make great number ones or number twos or need to be a part of a team. So, I mean, from the financial standpoint, yes, you need to know how much money you need to make to be able to live, right? But that shouldn't be the primary driver. I'm not saying it's not important, but there's so many other components of lifestyle that have to be looked at. So that's where we start to get into customizing your life. I'll just use myself an example because that's the easiest example. I know for sure, me earning a living is not going to be attached to me having to sit in traffic and drive somewhere and work in a cubicle. So no matter what, and I was thinking about this long before the pandemic, I've been working 100% remotely in my business, aside for the times that I had to do some side jobs, usually like manual labor type stuff. been working fully remotely since 2017 because I said to myself, I'm introverted. I don't need to be around people all day to do my work. I actually like working in silence and not having to go somewhere to do my work. Should be able to open up my laptop and get to work from there. I know that's not the case for everyone, but me understanding about that, about myself, influences what opportunities I go after and how I structure my business or how I structure my work.
You made a really good point. Is like, you know, you're an introvert. You don't really kind of gain energy by being in a office around people a lot of the day. You want to be home or remote or flexible. And I was in my mind, I was taking notes on that part. Like, go a little bit into that. You were talking about knowing yourself. And, you know, I talk about the flight assessment, and that's all about personality and behavioral things. But introvert, extrovert, right? Kind of know, you have to know yourself to also build. That's a part of understanding what type of life I want to customize, what type of work environment I would say.
Right. I mean, it's the biggest part is understanding how you're wired. And that's something that evolves and changes over time, right? So it's not like you say, okay, I know everything about myself. You will never know everything about yourself, right? But you learn as much about yourself as you can and also understand when you need to pivot and make changes. So that's where you're constantly checking in with yourself to understand, what do I need at this period of my life that's going to allow me to do my work effectively and also live the type of life that I want to live? Ideally, those two are connected, meaning like you don't really know the separation between work and play. Like that's what we're all aiming for ultimately. Like, I had an uncle tell me, he passed away, but one of the things I remember most about a conversation we had was he told me one of the best things you can do in life is get paid to be yourself. So that's what we're all after, right? That comes from understanding yourself and understanding, what can I bring to this world, to the marketplace, where I can show up and it doesn't feel like I have to. Like, have you ever been in a situation, Ernie, where you're going to work and you feel like you have to be someone else all day, or you have to go against kind of your natural abilities or skill sets, or you're operating outside of either who you are as a person or the things that you would like to be doing, but you have to do it because you're earning money. So that's what I'm talking about is, and I've been there, you've been there, a lot of people have been in that situation. And if you can avoid to the best of your ability, putting yourself in situations and being more intentional about situations that allow you to be yourself and operate in those gifts, then that's what you really want to go after. So now, just to get practical, like the way you do that is, it's not just all about sitting with yourself and, you know, reflecting all day long. It's also about studying other people and looking at what other people are doing in the world and kind of taking bits and pieces from what other people are doing, how other people are doing it, and then making it into your own. Not that you become a copycat artist, but you say, you know what, I like the way Ernie does her podcast. I want to do a podcast, and I like certain ways about the way Ernie does it. But then I watch Taj's podcast, and I'm like, oh, I like the way certain ways he does this. So maybe I take bits and pieces from, you know, Thrive After Sports podcast and Stats to Assets, and I make my own podcast based off what I've seen from these two. That's the way you find success, is by learning from what other people are doing and making it into your own. Because only you can do it your way, but you have to learn from other people in order to find out what your way is.
Yes, that's the customizing part. I love it.
There
I
it
love
is.
What everything you just said. I was writing down my notes. Work and play. Your uncle, I think your uncle said it, maybe. Work and play are different. Or not, wait. Work and play shouldn't be different. They shouldn't feel different. Is that right? That's what we're at. That's what everybody's aiming for. And that concept is very foreign to people because they're used to maybe work being, oh, I gotta go to work. And then when they get to go home and they're living for the weekend, you know? And I know a lot of people don't really believe that I can go to work and it cannot feel like work, even if I have to go in person, or even if it is remote. The day-to-day stuff that I'm doing is fun. I used to think that. I'm like, I just got to find a job so I can make money. And that's what my 6 years after retirement was. I was spinning my wheels because I didn't take the time to really customize and look at my life and how do I want to live? Like, what do I want to do? What I want to feel, how do I want to feel, you know, how do I want to impact people? So I love that you talked about the work and play, and that you should be chasing it to a point where it's not different. And so you're not drained.
what you just said is so key, because you said that most people don't think that that's possible, or the thought doesn't occur to them. So just like you, you know, I told you I had 5 years of just like, well, I need to make some money. So let me just see where I can get a job. Like, let me just try to make some money. And that was the only thought that went into it. And then when I had the epiphany that like, this isn't working, like, yes, I'm making money. So I checked that box, but like, that's the only box it's checking. But then you start to see people out in the world who are kind of blurring the lines between work and play. It's like, wait a minute, this person does, they get paid to speak places, or this person, whatever it is, like, this person gets paid to do this. And like, that's something really cool. I never thought that I could do something like that. I remember, so this is just a quick story. I was watching, have you seen Black Mirror on Netflix? It's kind of random. It's like a, there's an episode on one of the first seasons where like, and it's future based, right? But there's a dude who was coaching people on dates. Like, he was going on dates. It was a scary episode, but that's beside the point. But I was thinking to myself, like, this is in the future, but this dude is like coaching people. Like, he's working from the crib and he has an earpiece in, and he's coaching dudes while they're out on dates. And I said, well, you know, it's whatever year it is, 2017, 2018. Why can't I coach people? You know? And then I started looking at people who are already doing that. And I'm like, wow, maybe I'll just do that. You know, like, I'm already kind of doing it at work. Why don't I just do that in my own business? So that's what I mean about, like you said, once you have the thought of, oh, this is actually possible, I can blur the lines between work and play. I can start to change the things that I don't like and incorporate more of the things that I do like in my work. Then you just get closer and closer every single day, but you have to have that defined before you can even go after it. So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Another point that you did say was, where can I be myself? I never thought about that. I never thought about that. I just kind of like thought about like, okay, what do I want to do? Let's go chase that. But kind of the same thing, but it's just in a different way. Maybe this will help some other people. Is like the question, where can I be myself? That's really key to me, because now you're kind of looking at jobs, roles, industries, other people's businesses. Maybe I can learn from them. Where can I be myself? I don't know. I just, that whole phrase question resonates with me. And I hope people can just sit back and take some time to think about, you know, if you're looking for a career, you're trying to figure yourself out, ask that simple question. Where can I be myself? Wherever you can be yourself is where you're going to be successful, and you're going to enjoy it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah. I'll give you a quick example. Like last year, I told you that was a rough year for me because something fell through, and I'll be straight up about it. I was going broke from Thrive After Sports. And that's because I was neglecting other areas to focus on this one area that ended up falling through. So what I did was, I said, in the past, I've made the mistake of going to do something like, well, I know I can sell because I sell in my own business. Let me go try to get a sales job. And then I would find myself like burned out doing sales. So I wasn't thinking more about like, do I really want to have to be cold calling people and stuff? No, but what do I want to do? I want to have people pop up on my calendar and I coach them. So the job that I got was with this career coaching company called Happen to Your Career. And I'm actually still partnered with them to this day, where I do career coaching for people. But to your point about being able to be yourself, I took that route because they understand my situation, and all they do is I leave calendar space open and they put people on my, they don't bother me. There's no meetings. It's not even really like a job. It's just, hey, we're giving you clients to coach and paying you for it. And so to me, that has been a game changer. You see what I mean? But it's like, that allows me to, I have a job technically, but I'm also running my business, but I can be myself with Happen to Your Career, because it's just an additional stream of income. It's almost like they're almost more like a client than an employer. Do you know what I mean? If that makes sense, like, we're going to contract you to work with these clients versus like, we're going to pay you to do a job and you need to do it 8 hours a day. Like, so, but anyway, that's what you made me think of when you talk about like being yourself. That was a great point you brought up.
I'm glad you shared that story, because it's like, I feel like a couple points came up. When you have to align your life to where opportunities like that will come to you, you know, mm-hmm. that's for you. And what I think what I mean by that is like me, don't go chasing jobs for the money, because you're going to be busy for 40 hours of the week. That you're not in a place where you are attracting things that you are great at to come and just fall into your lap and say, hey, we're going to pay you to, like you just said, hey, we're going to pay you to coach these people. That's exactly what you wanted to do, right? So if we are in places or our time is kind of taken up by something that we just really don't vibe with, it's a placeholder. And I know situations, you know, you got to have money coming in. But if like, if you're kind of in a financial place where you can take some time and do some different things, it's really important to figure out what is for me, where can I be myself. So yeah, earlier you said something about you being an introvert, and I think it's so funny. I had a big smile because I'm an introvert too. And then you just said something about you doing sales, and you were like, not stressed, but drained. And I laughed inside because I'm like, I did sales too, and I didn't like it, honestly. I don't want to be cold calling. I don't want to be on the phone, like none of that. But I want to know from you, like, what's the distinction because sales versus coaching, we do talk to people. We are, you know, peopling when we're doing our coaching. What's the difference for you? Just introvert to introvert. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's crazy because we are more alike than I even thought from the get-go, because I never would have pinned you as an introvert. But people are also surprised when I'm introverted. And it's like, there's nothing I'd rather be doing than just like being alone or having quiet time to myself. But when I'm with people like you, when I'm with people, I'm with people and I enjoy being with people. But I do need the time by myself. But anyway, when you talk about sales, so the thing for me is like the problem where I ran into a brick wall was I wasn't taking my own advice. And honestly, this is before I even knew about any of this stuff, or I started learning more about myself, because I was trying to sell things, or I was in environments that I didn't believe in, or I was only in it for the money. So of course, as introverted people, if you enjoy your quiet time and now you're in an environment where you're talking to people all day long and you're only doing it for money, and you're either selling something that doesn't excite you, or you're around people or in an environment that doesn't allow you to like be able to prosper, then that's going to lead to burnout pretty quickly. But at the same side, like for my own business, just like you, we have to sell for our own business. Like I have to sell people on working with me, but it doesn't feel like sales and I'm not getting burned out, because really I'm just explaining to people how I can help them. And by the time someone reaches out to me, they're ready to get to work anyway, because they've already seen, you know, people that I've helped, or they already know a little bit about what I do. So it doesn't feel like sales. But coaching, I actually get a joy out of coaching. Right. So that's another thing too, where if I'm working with someone, helping them improve their lives, or just helping them navigate a transition or just figure out what they want to do, like that doesn't drain me, because even though I'm interacting, it definitely, you know, I still need some time at the end of each day to kind of unwind and just be by myself for a little bit. But it's a different type of muscle, you know, even as introverted people. I'll share this last thing about being introverted. A lot of people think of being introverted as some sort of handicap or something. But it's all about where you get your energy from. So whether you're introverted or extroverted, like there's gifts and there's different strengths to each side. So you just have to understand what you need to recharge your own battery, which is going to then allow you to show up better in the world, whether you're with people or not. When you were saying earlier about 40 hours a week, to me, that really stood out, because I think some people don't understand how just taking anything and everything, if it isn't in alignment, like you said earlier, if you take something that's out of alignment, ultimately that's a distraction from the long-term vision. So like, forgive me, we haven't talked about like the people who are listening to this show who want to get into tech and stuff at all. So just to give an example, like that's my bad, because that's not my realm. But like, let's say just based off of this concept of like, you know, being out of alignment, if you are someone who wants to get into cybersecurity and you know it's going to take, you know, some upskilling and stuff to get there, and that's your long-term vision, and then you just take some sort of random job that's unrelated to that path, and you're working 40 hours a week, and now you're too burned out to like upskill so you can get that cybersecurity role, you basically just shot yourself in the foot. You would have been better off just finding maybe like a lower level cybersecurity role, or even something totally unrelated that it may not be related to where you want to go, but at least you have the bandwidth and the freedom to be able to like work on that long-term vision. So that's what really stood out to me when you were talking about being out of alignment in something that is taking up too much of your time to be able to like get to that long-term vision. You have to be strategic even with those bridge roles. I call them bridge roles, like stepping stone roles to help you get to where you want to go. Bills that are paying, you still have to be intentional with those, even if it's just something to get you by and make ends meet until you get to where you want to go, you know?
Yeah. Oh man, that's good. That's really good. So I can give an example of that with my life. So this year I wanted to get into tech, and really I told myself in January, listen, I don't care if it takes me all year till December 31st to find a cybersecurity job, I'm going to do that. And let me tell you, life is life in me, and it's, I'm still working on it, but I'm not stopping. So what I did is I used Course Careers. It's an educational platform to get into IT, to get in tech, like you said, a bridging role, or there was another phrase you put, but like kind of placeholder, but it still was getting me into tech. I was still getting some skills, but it was going to still allow me to learn basics. And then on my off time, I could still skill up and go get, start working on my cybersecurity portfolio and other certifications that I'm still doing now. So that, I think, like what you just said, is kind of like what I'm doing. And in the IT role, the help desk role, is very entry level, but you know, I was smart and like open enough to be like, this is not where I want to be for $45,000. No, ma'am. But I'm going to do it because I'm going to give myself 3 to 6 months to get these certifications, get all. And then, so that's basically what you're talking about. Sometimes we have our lifestyle and everything's customized, and we have our career where we want to get to, but there's some, you know, place holding. There's sometimes going to be those roles where you have to do this for just a little bit. And in those roles, you guys, I would say squeeze everything you can out of it. 3 to 6 months, or if it's 9 months, it's 12 months, get everything out of working for that company, especially if you're going on site. get all the knowledge you can, you know, get all the leadership you can, get all the skills you can. That's just going to help propel you to where you're going. You know, just don't be there and be like, oh, I got to do this until I level up. No, like level up where you are when you're working, but then also on the outside, that's the real level up, I guess. Not real, but you know what I'm saying? It's kind of two different mindsets there.
Yeah. It's almost what you just said, like about getting everything out of it. You almost have to look at it as like a paid internship, because technically that's what it is. Like, you're in the role, you're getting paid to be there. Don't just, like you said, don't just be there collecting a check until you clock out. Like you said, learn from what you can, build relationships, connect with people, learn about how the business operates. You can take that into your next thing. So that was gold right there. It's a paid internship. That's the way you should look at it.
And y'all slipping if y'all ain't hear what he said. He said, what the heck did you just say? You said, pay attention to how the business is run. For all you techies right out here, we're not just getting into tech. Listen, for me, we're about to talk about generational wealth. We got a couple minutes, but we'll touch it. But you think about generational wealth and you're in tech, you need to think about how the business operates at each role, each department, each place you work for, so that maybe you can come out of here and build something too. That's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. I done told y'all my little game plan.
Right.
Yo, okay. Go. Taj, like just a couple like ideas about generational wealth, man. Like, what are you teaching your athletes and the people that you work with?
The main thing is ownership. And before I even get into this, I got to say, I stay in my lane, Ernie. So you've had people like Amobi Okugo on here. You want to hear something about, you know, money and generational wealth? Go back and listen to Amobi Okugo's episode, because he was dropping gems on there. For me, I can only speak to my experience, and then I'll tell you what I share with other people. But the first thing for me is I knew that I wanted to get out of corporate. So I wanted to establish myself to be sufficient on my own. But now, especially, like I said, I have my son on the way. So I'm not just thinking about, you know, being self-employed and being a solopreneur. I'm thinking about how can I put businesses and structures in place to where I can pass things down to my children, right? So, and there are many different ways to do that, which is why what we've been talking about this entire episode, you have to figure out what works for you. So whether that's investments or real estate, whatever it is that you're doing to create something outside of the time that you're working and putting your money to work for you, I definitely think that's something that everyone should be learning, educating themselves on, and then not only learning and educating themselves on, but taking action on. It's one thing to watch like a YouTube video about investments. It's another thing to actually put some money down, even if it's like $5, just so you can understand how it works. Like we were just talking about, so you understand how investing works, right? So I think that's the best thing I could say about that. But yeah, you definitely you have to be thinking long term and thinking outside of trading time for money, especially in this day and age. Nobody's job is safe. You got to be putting your money to work for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thanks for sharing that tidbit. I know we're running out of time, but where can people find you if they, you know, I just popped your LinkedIn up, but, you know, where can they find you if they want to work with you, be coached by you, have you to come speak? Yeah. Plug yourself.
I appreciate that, Ernie. Yeah, TajDeshawn.com is the hub for everything. So I'm Taj Deshawn on all social media, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm most active on there, YouTube. Check out the Thrive After Sports podcast. And you can find Thrive After Sports on all podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, the whole nine. Also on TajDeshawn.com. Thank you for popping that up. That's where links to everything are on there. Social media, podcasts, books. You can join the community, the Thrive After Sports collaborative community. There's a link on there to join as well. Would love to see you inside. There's a lot of great things happening. Matter of fact, when you were talking earlier about cybersecurity, there's somebody I want to connect you with who's he's a former pro baseball player who's in the cybersecurity world. I think that'll be an awesome connection for you. So yeah, that's where you can find me. Yep.
Awesome. Any just listening for you know, people out here trying to customize their life and move forward, you know. Go ahead and close this out.
Yeah. I'd say, so the main thing is just to bet on yourself, right? I think a lot of people, one of the biggest things that I'm glad we talked about today is, and I think you actually brought this up, is just understanding that you can blur the lines between work and play. And so once you have that epiphany, and like I said, start to look for, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you see Ernie, you see other people who Ernie's bringing on who have blurred the lines between work and play and are customizing their lifestyle. So nothing about us or any of these people coming on Ernie's show is special. It's just a decision to say, I'm not just going to take what I'm given. I'm going to create my life. I'm going to leave my mark. I'm going to impact the world in this way. So if any of us can do it, then you can do it too. And all you have to do is figure out how you want to do it. Reach out to people to get help with how to do it. Don't feel like you have to figure it out all on your own. Study people. And most importantly, take action on what you're learning.
Take action. Create your life. Take action. Customize it. Take action. I love it. I appreciate you, Taj. Thanks for being on the show and closing us out. And for y'all out there, y'all know what I do. I'm going to see you when I see you. Peace.
Peace. Thanks, Ernie.